is preeminently the time to speak the truth, the whole truth, frankly and boldly. The only thing we have to fear is...
Today's show is brought to you by Pekarsky Orthodontics. Dr. Pekarsky has been voted by New Jersey Monthly Magazine as the top orthodontist in 2011 and 2012. Dr. Pekarsky has two great locations, one in Wayne, New Jersey at 150 Hinchman Ave. Their telephone number is 973-942-0900. And also visit him at his new location at 5677 Berkshire Valley Road in Oak Ridge, New Jersey. Their telephone number is 973-545-2391. And also visit him on their website at www.pekarskyortho.com today.
Welcome back to AutismRadio.org, home of the world's first autism support radio network and proud 501c3 charitable organization, helping families challenged with autism every day get services they desperately need. Please help us make a difference in the autism community and find it in your heart to support 1 in 88 families in America today. Donate directly at AutismDonation.org. Now, stay tuned for a special broadcast of Hope Saves the Day with autism activist, super dad and author of The Spectrum Diet, master chef and the Hope Man himself, your host, Paul Simmons.
Thank you for that great introduction. As always, it's great to be back on another edition of Hope Saves Today. Today we have a very special guest. She's a general dentist. Her name is Dr. Humaira Shaw, and she's going to be sharing our journey on making going to the dentist a much easier transition for children. We'd like to welcome to the program Dr. Humaira Shaw.
Hi, Paul. How are you?
We're doing great. We're really excited to have you come on the show. We have obviously a couple different things that we're going to talk about. We also want to let people know, which we'll talk about a little later, but you also created this wonderful book for children called Sam and the Sugar Bug. And it's a wonderful book, and we'll talk a little bit about that later in the program. But we first want to take parents through a journey and make it as easy as possible for a parent to take their child to the dentist. Would you like to start off a little bit about, you know,
yes,
what we can do?
Thank you for having me, Paul. I'm excited to be on your show. About going to the dentist, I always tell parents it's never easy for a child, Paul, to go to a dentist. For that matter, not even easy for an adult. But we can make it easy for them. The biggest trick to that, Paul, is starting early. You have to start your dental checkups after their first birthday and then have it every 6 months. So you're going to achieve two things with it, Paul. One, you're going to be familiarizing the child with the surroundings and the dentist. And familiar surroundings are such an important thing for every child, especially with special needs. Also, what happens is that suppose you didn't like the dentist, right? You have a lot of time to search for another one till you're comfortable at the right place. But even American Dental Association says take your child to dentist after first birthday and every 6 months. And let's say you took your child, Paul, only when he has pain. He's 4 or 5 years old. He's in pain. He's not in pain for nothing, right?
Right.
So if he's in pain, he is definitely going to need some treatment, which could be from filling to an extraction or crown, and that's the way you start. He is not, or she is not going to like the dentist. I mean, it's going to leave a bad memory in their mind.
Absolutely.
So if you start every 6 months from first birthday, it's going to be very easy, because how we generally start is we just do their visual checkup at one, we brush their teeth, apply fluoride, so it's a breeze. So when you do that repeatedly every 6 months, suddenly the dentist doesn't look like a monster.
Right.
Do you see?
Absolutely. You know, one of the things that you started, you know, you were working with, generally you came out of dentistry school and you were going to work with adults, but primarily you've been treating children.
I have always loved to work with children. It just makes my day to listen to them, to talk to them, to convince them, to make dentistry easy for them. That's what I love to do. And another thing I forgot to tell you, Paul, how to make it easy is read to them. Let's say now you've skipped a lot of, your child is already 3, 4, or 5, and you're taking them to dentist now, read to them. make them aware what to expect, because when a child is aware of what is going to happen, they're more full of the situation. They can deal with it better. There's a lot of books out there that you will find in the market, which is about the first visit to dentist. I'm actually ready with my book too about first visit to dentist, which will come out next summer. But like I said, there are so many books out there that you can read to your child.
Well, that's great, because I mean creates a lot of anxiety for the parent and also for your child.
Yes.
You know, if you don't know what to expect, and creates a lot of anxiety going, which can make it very traumatic. Now, one of the things, obviously, on our program, we talk a lot about autism. We're, you know, an autism-based program, and from our discussions, we understand that you've treated a lot of children with disabilities and on the autism spectrum as well that you've treated.
Yes. I work in a children's office, so general dentists, generally, if they are having a hard time, they prefer not to see the special need kids, so we get all of them in the area referred to us. Definitely, when you choose a dentist for your child, you need to choose a child-friendly office because they're more used to the situation, they can deal with it better, and they're more equipped to it for it.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I had an experience where my child was young, my son Jonathan, we took him to the dentist, and, you know, he was just a general dentist, not specializing in pediatrics or working with a lot of children. And he got very frustrated with him, you know, because he wouldn't cooperate. And so, obviously, it made the experience bad, and we just went home and left.
You have to be very patient. Pediatric dentistry is... the whole pediatric dentistry is based on the fact that you have to be very patient. If you do not have the patience, it's not the job for you.
No,
it's not the right job.
That's very important. So also take the parents through, you know, obviously the first step is getting familiar with toothpaste and using a toothbrush. Of course, we'll put a demo up, some photographs on the Autism Radio website to show parents how to brush their teeth. But if you want to kind of at least verbally walk through the steps and what they can do.
Sure. So I recommend to my patients that if they are less than 3, Paul, use safe-to-swallow toothpaste. So safe-to-swallow, the only difference is it doesn't have fluoride. Not that the other toothpaste is bad with fluoride. It's really good for children, but it's meant to be spit out. So if your child is swallowing, you're better off using safe-to-swallow toothpaste. There are a lot of them out there in market. Once your child learns to spit out, that's when you're going to move to the fluoridated toothpaste, which is around, I have a 4-year-old son. He's still having tough time spitting it out. So you be the judge. When they're spitting out, move to the children's toothpaste, which has fluoride. It's good for them. It helps them prevent cavities. Use pea size. And no more than pea size, and brush 2 times a day, floss once a day. Stick flossers are very good for kids. Have you seen them in the market?
No, I'm not sure exactly what that is. Can you explain what that is?
The conventional flossers are like thread, right?
Yes.
But these are like, this is a little floss attached to a stick. I'll send you a picture of that too. Much easier to use on a child. Especially with special need kids, because of the sensory issues. If you're using a long string trying to get that in their mouth, it can be quite challenging.
Yes,
so
I'll
send you a picture of stick flossers. Use stick flossers. Night, brush 2 times a day. Night is more important. No sleeping without brushing. And once you brush at night, no eating after, and then floss. They can drink water after that, but avoid eating, because if they eat after brushing at night, the food is going to be sticking to their teeth all night long.
Right.
There are mouthwashes out there. However, again, I do not recommend you use a mouthwash under 5-year-old child, especially if they're swallowing. Once they have learned to spit out, they're 5 years old, use a fluoridated mouthwash. It will help them. I always tell my parents that, try once a week. Once they've reached 5 years age, they're good at, you know, spitting out. Start with once a week mouthwash, and then if you're confident, increase the days.
you know, one of the biggest things a parent complains is how do they get their child to brush their teeth? What have you done to make that transition easier?
That is a million-dollar question right there. Every day, every parent asks me the same question, okay? It is pretty hard. I, as a mother, let me tell you, I have a four-year-old. It was very hard to get him to brush his teeth. So it's a challenge for every parent, especially for the special needs. It's even harder. So you're not the only ones out there. I, being a dentist with my son, I had a tough time till he was two and a half. That's when I introduced Sam and the sugar bug to him and said, you know, I'm going to brush your teeth and there are bugs out there. I can clean it better. I can see them if you let me look in your mouth. Never brush. Let your child brush by himself under the age of three. I mean, you can have them brush, but you're going to go over. Till one, there's no, I mean, after, between 1 to 3, definitely you have to brush their teeth, morning and night. Once they achieve 3, you want to give them independence, let them brush in the morning, you're going to brush their teeth at, you're going to let them brush their teeth at night, but after that you're going to follow. Knee to knee is a great position, Paul. I think I talked to you about it, where you hold, put their legs around your waist and make them lie down on another person's lap. It's the other person that brushes their teeth. You're going to have a better look. Another way to do it is, if you're by yourself, make them lie on the bed and sit right behind their head and then look down and brush their teeth. It is going to give you a better access, and you can look at the back teeth and actually see if you're missing brushing. I'm going to send you a picture of knee-to-knee brushing, so that way they can it's kind of hard to visualize how you you can do knee-to-knee, so I'll send you a picture that you can post along with it.
Okay, great, and we'll put that up on the...
And what else did I miss on that? Did I miss anything? Circular motion. Make sure you're brushing in circles and you're brushing gums. Keep in mind, as much as important it is to brush the teeth, it's equally important to brush the gums. Because what's going to happen is, if you brush the teeth and miss the gums, the plaque is starting to collect along the gums. You will see it as a white line. You can actually scrape it off with your nail. If you see that white line, that means you're not brushing the gums. And eventually the gums will get infected, they will get red, and they will start bleeding when you brush. So... that is a totally reversible condition. All you need, if your child is bleeding when you're brushing, maybe you're missing the gums, then you need to make circles, brush the gums. He or she is going to bleed for a week, but you will notice after a week, the bleeding will be less and less until they get healthy. So never miss the gums. Very important.
No, that's good. That's a good point, because I'm sure a lot of parents at home, you know, they're saying, oh, you know, their child's gum bleeds, so then they take it easy on the child's teeth. You know, they figure they're doing it too hard. You know?
Yeah, and also, you know, you're going to go to the dentist. They will go over it. If they are having any other problem than bad oral hygiene on gums, they'll let you know. But most of the time, it's skipping the brushing of gums. And
so I'd
like
to talk
about
your book, about what inspired you to write the book.
What inspired me to write the book, Paul? Like I told you, I've been fortunate enough to work with kids. So it is quite a challenge to get a child to come into a dental office, make him sit on the chair, and then you have to look in his mouth, his or her mouth, and also to work on their teeth. Over the years, I realized if I came down to their level, if I explained the whole situation to them like a story, they would let me work without, and their anxiety level would go down. I would tell them, I'm looking for bugs, I need to clean them out. And I realized that if the parents said the same thing at home, they would let them brush their teeth. With my own son, like I said, every time he gives me a hard time, I go, okay, you don't want me to brush? Randy's there. He's going to bite your cheek. It is so much easier for them to understand. That was my biggest inspiration. I think other than that, the fact that so many kids Get Nursing Bottle Syndrome, which we're going to be talking about it. That was another inspiration for me. It broke my heart when a child of 3-year-old, 4-year-old had to go through treatment. That's actually what inspired me to write for newspapers or go into education field, because this is such an under-addressed issue. So all these little things together made me write the book.
Now, what is nursing bottle syndrome?
Nursing bottle syndrome, again, I will send you a picture, and it's a little scary, but it's the reality. Nursing bottle syndrome is a disease that affects multiple teeth. So your teeth start decaying, especially in the front and the molars. And the decay is very extensive. The cavities are very extensive. What happens is, when the child goes to sleep, you feed them with bottle in the middle of the night. So when you're feeding them, they will drink the milk and they'll fall asleep. The last part of the milk stays in their mouth. And it stays in their mouth for extended period of time, and that's what causes that decay.
Wow.
And like I said, I will send you some pictures. They're going to
sure.
be quite graphic. But I want parents to see it, so no child has to go through so much treatment. It is very traumatic for a child to get that kind of treatment. I have seen parents cry because it's very hard to watch your child going through that kind of treatment. And then the parents have the guilt. Maybe I didn't do something wrong. You didn't. It was fault of our system not to educate you, because no child comes with a manual.
Absolutely.
So here's how I want, this is very important for all the parents who have kids less than 4 years old, 3 years, you need, once they have reached an age of one, first of all, see the dentist. They can educate you. Second of all, get them into a habit where you're going to brush their teeth at night, give them a good dinner, brush their teeth at night, try to put them to sleep. I have a child. I know I was very judgmental before. I did not have a child. There's a lot of challenges to it. It's a hard job, but you got to try to do it. Whether you're breastfeeding or you're giving a bottle to a child, breastfeeding is great. Don't get me wrong. I highly recommend breastfeeding till two. But here's what I want you to do is if you want to breastfeed, try not to breastfeed in the middle of the night. Now, or give the bottle in the middle of the night. Well, bottles should be done after one. I want them to drink from a cup. Now, until you achieve that, every time you feed a child and he or she falls asleep, keep a bottle filled with water on the side, stick it in their mouth. They're going to take a couple of sips. It's going to wash the milk away. That's all you need to do, whether it's a daytime nap or night.
That's a great tip.
Yeah. So, like I said, it is very hard. Sometimes it's very, you got to choose battles. It's not easy to get a child off the bottle or easy to get a child off breastfeeding. So this is a little tip that will help you till you achieve that. So in the middle of the night, avoid feeding, especially after the age of 1.5. If you are still feeding in the middle of the night, then have a bottle by your side filled with water. It will rinse the milk away.
No, that's great, and we really thank you for that.
And juice, please be aware. Juice is sugar, water, citric acid. A lot of countries do not let their kids have juice at less than two. One juice, 4 ounces of juice a day once, that's it. Water, there's no alternative to water and fresh fruits. So I have seen a lot of parents, they'll fill the bottle or sippy cup up with juice when they go out, and the child is sucking on the juice for a couple of hours when they are in park or whole day long. Do not do that. One meal time, 4 ounces a day, you're done. I think American Tooth Fairy had made a pyramid. I'm not sure which source it is, but it said, milk with juice once a day, milk with meals, water all day long. I love that pyramid. That's the best thing a parent can remember. So it's milk with meal, juice once a day, and water whenever they want.
That's great. That's a great tip.
Another thing, Paul, that I would like to tell parents is that feed your child every 2 hours. Breakfast, snack, lunch, snack, dinner. In between, water. Sticky snacks once a day. Also keep in mind, don't keep sticky snacks out where they're going, getting one. Like, let's say you put a plate of cookies on the table, right, in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to go get one, and the food is going to be sticking all day long. That's another thing that's going to give them cavities. So if you're giving them breakfast at 8, give them a snack at 10, lunch at 12, and in between, give them water. It's going to help them prevent cavities, and also they will have better appetite for the real meals.
No, that's great. That's some great information for parents listening at home. Just want to talk a little bit about, real quickly, about, you know, people might need laughing gas or general anesthesia. How do you tell a parent for something like that? I mean, if a child does have to go under filling or some kind of dental procedure.
Yes. So this is, I'm going to explain it the way I explain it to my parents. This might sound a little weird, but here's how I break it down. Let us say your child needs treatment, right? So if your child is older and is good at following directions, and, you know, every child is different. You know your child. If you think they can handle shock, laughing gas just relaxes them. The anesthesia will make it numb, and they can be done. Now, if you have a child who is very nervous, then you would definitely go between oral sedation and general anesthesia. Here's the difference between the three, Paul. Laughing gas, I always tell my patients, think of laughing gas as, it's like a happy feeling, but you exactly know what's going on. You know the conversations that are happening, so you're aware of the situation. So you're going to understand, you're a little happy, a little relaxed than normal, and you can deal with the situation better. But at the same time, you know that you're getting your teeth drilled, you are getting a shot in your mouth. Some kids do very well with it. The ones that are listening and are a little more less anxious. But if your child is crying and you know it's going to be, and less than 3 or 4, even if they give them laughing gas, they're not going to breathe it in. Then oral sedation is the way to go, which is like a little medicine we give in office. It kind of makes you like, it's like twilight sleep. You're awake, you could still be crying, throwing a tantrum, but you don't remember it. It makes it seem like a bad dream. Do you see? It doesn't knock them out.
Okay.
For there are some patients that, and we combine it with laughing gas. If you do oral sedation, they're going to give them laughing gas too, so they have two helps. Together, it will make it seem like a bad dream. They may cry a lot during treatment or even after until the medicine wears off, but they don't remember it.
That's great.
So you're really like half awake, half asleep. That way when you have finished with the treatment, you don't remember it, so you're not really traumatized from it. Now, if your child is even more anxious and you really don't want to, and it's a lot of treatment, then you might go with general anesthesia where they put your child out. Especially the general anesthesia, I really say it's for kids that have like extensive treatment. Do you see what I mean?
Yes.
They're young, less than 3, and they have like full-blown nursing bottle. Otherwise, oral sedation really works well.
Oh, that's great. You know, one of the things I mentioned really before we get going here on the program to wrap it up, talk a little bit about dental sealants as a preventative measure.
Yes, I love sealants. So sealants, the back teeth, right? If you if you see the back teeth, they have dips in them. They're not smooth. They're like mountains. If you see, and then the mountains will have a little groove in the bottom. That's where the food gets stuck. Baby teeth, it's you can skip it because it's going to be hard for the child to sit and get the sealants done. What the sealant does, think of sealant as a nail polish. It covers the top of the tooth in the back. It creates a mechanical barrier between the food and the teeth. So it's an excellent preventive measure that once your permanent teeth grow in the back, ask the dentist about sealants. Very simple procedure. They'll make the child lie down on the chair. They'll do, it's a two or three step process. The only thing bad about it is the taste, but by the time the molar comes in, permanent molar comes in, the child is already 6 years old. They have, if they've been to dentist from the age of one, they will sit through it like a breeze.
Oh,
now, sealants on baby teeth, if your child is cooperative, you can get it done, but more importantly on permanent teeth. That will, keep in mind, sealants will help prevent cavities on top, but you have to be keeping up with your oral hygiene and flossing. In flossing helps prevent cavities in between.
That's great. Well, we just really want to thank you for that wealth of information that you gave all our listeners today on how important it is to obviously take care of your teeth. And, you know, we look forward to having you come back on in the future to talk about some of the new things that you're working on. We'll be sure to put the links on and the photos on autismradio.org. Also, we'll put the link to the Sam and the Sugar Bug video.
Yeah, the book
is a great
right
tool.
Now. I have kept it free for another 1 month. So, and it's very easy to download. You just go to on, but it has to be downloaded on iPhone, iPad, or iPod. I'm gonna get it up on Android in a month. So until then, if you have an Apple gadget, download iBooks. iBooks is a free app. It's Apple's library where you can choose a ton of books, and then in iBooks, you look for Sam and the Sugar Bug. It's free right now. You download it. It's, you will have the book free for life. It has audio. I think, like I said, the, Kelly Flitzer was the one who did the narration. She did such an awesome job with the narration. She completely engages the child with the story. And also the illustrator, Javier Gonzalez, he did an awesome job too. So download it while it's free, and when I upload it on Android, I'll let you know. So, you know, and I'll keep it free on Android for a month too.
Oh, that's great. Well, all listeners will appreciate that, and we really want to thank Dr. Humaira Shaw for spending some time with us today on the program and really shedding some light on the importance of taking care of our children's teeth and giving some wonderful tips. Just want to thank you for coming on the air on Hope Saves the Day today, Dr. Shaw.
Thank you, Paul. It's been such a pleasure. It's been such a pleasure.
Well, we'd like to thank all our listeners, as always, for the continued support. And remember, until next time, Hope Saves the Day. Goodbye, everyone.
Every time I see your smile, I wonder what you feel. Every time you laugh or cry, I wonder if it's real. You seem trapped inside. Please help me understand, what is your world like? I want to feel your love. I want to know what it's like to laugh and play. Imagine a thought that you cannot feel, a tear trapped inside. Imagine a sound that you cannot make, no matter how hard you try. I want you to know how I'm feeling. I want you to know how it feels to be me. I wish you could look into my world and see how I see. Hold my hand and remind me to hold on to hope each day. Let this song be my voice. Remember, hope saves the day. to show you what I see. What kind of life will I have? What's in store for me? Don't be afraid, just love and hold me. I can be all that I can be. With your love I can do anything. With your love I can see the world. Like rays of light shine upon me, inside of me. Then you are right by my side. I will love you to the end of time. Hold my hand and remind me to hold on to hope each day. Let this song be my voice and remember hope saves the day.